This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, this is Richard Wiseman's On Your Mind with me, psychologist Professor Richard Wiseman.
And me, science journalist Marnie Chesterton.
This is the podcast where we delve into the psychology of everyday life and answer your questions about human behaviour.
Expect fascinating facts, scintillating science, and this might even improve your life.
In this episode, we're going to be talking about motivation, including different strategies for improving motivation.
Why we shouldn't rely on willpower.
And how to overcome procrastination.
Can I do that later?
Nope, let's get on with the show.
What motivates you?
I'm all right with motivation, actually, as long as I'm interested in what I'm doing. Maybe everyone's like that. If I don't want to do it, it's quite difficult. But if I want to do it, it's very easy. That's not motivation, is it? That's just me doing stuff.
I think that counts as motivation because, I mean, there's stuff that I want to do that I just don't do for no apparent reason.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we can tackle that. By the end of this episode, you're going to be super motivated.
This podcast series is going to fix me in so many ways.
It's going to change the world.
More importantly, it's going to make me do my tax return on time.
Yes, that's right. We're covering that in another episode. I'm into motivation. So a few years ago, I tracked 5,000 people as they tried to achieve all their goals, you know, sort of lose weight and get fitter and all this sort of thing. And at the beginning of it all, we said to them, what are you going to do? What are your strategies? And then we tracked them for either 6 months or a year, and then we could find out which strategy worked.
And what strategies did work? What strategies are we talking about?
I can tell you what didn't work.
Oh, yeah.
Willpower.
Yeah, I was wondering about this because I think willpower might be something a bit like a muscle that I don't have or that I have not exercised in many, many years.
Well, I don't think it even exists.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm very sceptical about willpower. So people go, oh, I've got strong will. And I don't know what that even means. Mm. So if you tick the yes, I'm going to use willpower, absolute disaster. As was, I'm going to be motivated by the bad things that are going to happen if I don't do these things, because it set you in this kind of very negative sort of mindset. So those two were disasters. But the biggest disaster of all was I'm going to try and, if it was, say, I'm not going to eat, sweets and cakes and things, then trying to push those out of your mind was a terrible, terrible thing, because you get into the whole white bear thought suppression.
What's the white bear?
The white bear stuff was experiments done by Daniel Wegener, very nice guy, no longer with us, unfortunately. But the idea was that if you ask people not to think about a white bear, they push it out of their mind, but then they have to think, hold on a minute, am I thinking about a white bear? And so they end up thinking about the white bear far more times than the people that are just sitting there anyway, or indeed openly thinking about a white bear. So this is the problem with thought suppression. You get this rebound effect. And it's the same with anything. If you're worried or anxious about something, you try and push it out of your mind. Terrible idea, because it keeps on bouncing back because you keep thinking, am I thinking about it?
Right.
So okay. That was not a good strategy for people trying to do things like that.
It sounds like what you've been telling me is all of the strategies that don't work. And
that's right.
That's pretty much all the strategies. Is there anything that does work?
Oh, there's lots of things that work. So the best one, and in some ways, it's the most obvious one, but it's still the most success associated with it, is goal setting. So you've got this big goal, which is you're going to, I don't know, lose weight or go to the gym more frequently or whatever it is. That seems like a mountain to climb. And so instead of having that one big goal, you break it down into lots of smaller goals. So you go, you know, this week I'm going to lose this amount of weight, or I'm going to go to the gym twice or whatever it is. And you try and make those as detailed as possible and as kind of time-linked. So if it's going to the gym, you don't say, I'm going to go to the gym twice. You go, I'm going to go at 6 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday. And that way you know whether you're achieving those little steps. And it seems far more achievable. So this is goal setting. And it's a very successful approach.
Okay, talking of the gym, we've got a question from Ali, a listener, about her struggles with willpower when it comes to exercise. And she says The only thing that will get me to the gym is the knowledge that my friend is in there waiting for me. And if it weren't for the fear of letting her down, then there's no way I'd be able to get myself through the door, despite the fact I want to get fit. What's that all about?
Yeah, so that is interesting. So that's the support network. And again, this is another one of these successful strategies, is that if you tell your friends and family what it is you're trying to achieve, far more successful than if you don't mention it to anyone.
But for me, that falls under the kind of stick versus carrot aspect, because I don't see that as a support network. I see that as kind of people I will be letting down if I don't do this.
I think to some extent that's true, but hopefully they would also encourage you. Now, in our research, we found that there were some groups of people who didn't do that at all, so their friends actually tried to discourage them, and they go, oh, let's all have a lot more cake.
Oh, go on, have another drink.
Have another one. Life's short, and all that sort of thing. But as long as you get supportive friends and families, most of them are, actually, it's a very big driver. So in terms of carrot and stick, always go with the carrot, particularly if you're trying to eat healthily. So that notion of the good things that will flow from achieving this goal is actually, again, another successful strategy. So we're talking about goal setting, really important, particularly when it's detailed. So if you can go, when this happens, then I do this. So, you know, when it's 6 o'clock on Wednesday, then I go to the gym. And that allows you to really kind of cement that in your mind. You know whether you're doing it or not. Not, I'm going to go to the gym twice next week or something like that.
Okay, so stops you going mañana.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's really important. Friends and family, really important. And the positive things that are going to flow from it. And actually journaling. Any kind of record about how you're on where you're going on your journey, really important. So those were the four things that really came out as successful, associated with success. Saying that, of the 5,000 people, only 10% actually achieve their goals.
That makes me feel a lot better.
You should do, yes.
Yeah, yes. Okay. So I started with my aunt maybe over a year ago, during the pandemic sometime. We started a kind of, let's try and lose some weight, and we'll put a fiver in the pot for every week that we don't.
Right.
And I have sort of consistently lost the same kilo again and again and put it back on again. But now I've got £400, so...
That's one way of looking at it.
Bonza.
On that, often small changes as well. So if you're faced with escalator or stairs, sort of station or something, if you go, whenever I'm faced with that choice, I'll always go with the stairs. Those kind of small mindset changes can add up. So it's all the same thing. And then, in fact, we're seeing this across lots of the episodes. I'm a big fan of this, that small change often has quite a big impact. And that's certainly true of motivation.
You mentioned 10% of people manage to achieve their goals. And I'm wondering if there's anything about that 10% versus the other 90. Because why do some people achieve their goals?
They know what they're doing. That's it. I mean,
I find that very hard to believe.
Well, that's the whole point, is they were doing different things. That 10% were doing all the sort of stuff I'm talking about. The other 90% were relying on willpower and worrying about what's going to happen if they didn't achieve their goals and so on. I'm a social psychologist. I like going, well, socially, what's happening? What's the differences in these groups? And how can you get one group to be more like the other if they want to be?
I was talking to Giles Yeo, who is a scientist who investigates why some of us are overweight. Mm-hmm. And he says some people talk about they've just got more willpower. And he says it just seems that there's a lot going on with why some people will put the cake in their face. And that's down to your genetics.
It may be true. I'm sure it's true to some degree, but what can you do about that? You can't change genetics
in the future.
Maybe if in the future you can change your genetics, then great, but right now that's a kind of tricky thing to do.
Yeah,
so you could go, you know what,
and vastly unethical, and no one should do it.
That's right. So you could go, look, you know what, it's in my genetics, I need to eat a lot of cake, there's nothing I can do, there's no point in trying, this is going to be my life, which is fine if you want to eat lots of cake. But if you don't, then, well, okay, you can't change your genetics, so what can you change? And that's why I'm always very suspicious about this notion of going, oh, this is all about these factors that we can't change, because it leads to a very fixed mindset. And I think you're much better off going, I'm sure that's true to some extent, but what can we do?
I can't believe willpower doesn't exist. It's like you've just told me Father Christmas isn't real. I've read so many. Oh, okay, good. Phew. That was going to really ruin the day.
Well, it doesn't exist in the sense of what does it mean? It means I'm really going to try hard. Well, trying hard's hard work. You're going to get pretty exhausted pretty quickly. And to me, it's not a really meaningful strategy. So it's much, much easier to do the sorts of things I've been talking about.
The things that you've been talking about seem to be a lot to do with kind of being accountable to yourself. And I'm just wondering how much motivation comes from being accountable to someone else. For example, your editor with a deadline.
For example, just taking that one off the top of your head.
Or HMRC with your tax return.
It depends. And it depends on the type of person you are. If you care about what those people think or, you know, whether you've got a job the next week or whatever, absolutely. If it doesn't matter to you too much, then they're not. But I think it's a question of knowing why you're trying to achieve what you're trying to achieve. And if you understand that, that in itself is quite a big motivation. So if you're talking about healthy living, well, there's a good reason to do that. If you want to live a longer, happier life and spend more time with people that you love, that's a big old motivation. So I think it comes down to, you know, not all goals are equal in that sense. And I suppose I'm talking about big goals associated with happiness and success and good health.
It sounds so simple and straightforward.
But, it is.
And yet, out of the, I don't know, 60-something million people in this country, I think there's 1.5 million people who, sorry to harp on about this, who do their tax returns late. Mm-hmm. So, and they clearly don't want to do it late.
No, it's interesting you know the stat on that. It's almost as if to make yourself feel good, you've looked up. It's not just me.
It's not just me.
It'd be great if you looked it up and it came on a website because it's just you. You are the only one. Everyone else, there's 6-7 million, but they've all got it in. It's just you. We're just waiting for yours.
Leicester Square.
That's
just
right.
Says, congratulations, Marnie. You're the only person that didn't manage to file this on time.
And we're not that. They can say we're not processing any of them until yours is in.
Oh, God.
And everyone's just tutting at you.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Richard Wiseman's On Your Mind, and today we're talking about motivation. We've had a question about a related topic, procrastination, from a listener called Jade. Jade asks, to what extent does Richard believe that procrastination is a defence mechanism of the ego? Presumably procrastination is not a lack of motivation, rather a resistance to something.
Well, procrastination, which can be quite a serious old thing actually, we shouldn't joke around about it too much, is complicated. So there's sort of serious procrastination, which really impacts on people's lives.
And what kind of thing is that?
Well, people just find it difficult to put in job applications on time, for example, or meeting anyone, and they're always late and all this sort of thing, which then becomes, you know, sort of serially late and becomes a social problem. That requires proper help. I think for most of us, where we just go, you know what, I just tend to put things off, then there are things that can be done. But it is a complicated bit of behaviour because often it's associated with perfectionism, with not being judged, with not wanting not to get negative feedback, so you don't do anything rather than put something in and people tell you it's not good enough and so on. There's all those sorts of issues. But for a lot of procrastination, sorts of things that people are doing in everyday life, I think there are things that we can do.
Okay.
So the one that fascinates me most is based on some Russian work, a Russian observation, actually, called the Zygarnik effect in psychology. Zagarnik was a student of psychology, 1920s Russia. She goes to a restaurant. And this is why I love psychology, because an everyday observation then has a massive impact on the whole of psychology. She notices the waiters are not writing down people's orders, but they're able to remember them. When it comes to payment, they'll go, this is what you had, and they come up with the bill. If 5 minutes later, the person queries that and says, oh, hold on a second, was that right? They have no memory of the order.
Oh, wow.
And you get this with actors as well, that they'll remember dialogue, film actors, in a scene, and the moment that scene's in the can, they've got no memory of the dialogue.
What's going on?
Well, what happened in Russia was they went back to the lab and they started to do experiments into this. So you ask people to try and solve a series of puzzles, but some of the time you stop them before they've got to the solution. Those puzzles really stick in people's minds. So when we complete something, complete a task, it kind of goes out of our minds. When it's an uncompleted task, it sits there, a bit like a sort of stone in your shoe. And so when it comes to procrastination, you can use that because often procrastinators don't make any start at all. So this is, there's no problem for them. If you say, look, I know it's a big old thing. Just work away for 5 minutes. You can just do 5 minutes. It becomes an unfinished problem.
Oh, so rather than carry on for the duration of the task, which you think could take you an entire lifetime, although actually it's probably going to be a day and a half, whilst having a stone in your shoe, you'd rather not put the shoe on in the first place.
Exactly. The flip side of that is, I know it's going to take you a day and a half to do your tax return. Just do 5 minutes. You can do 5 minutes. And you do that 5 minutes, now it's the stone in your shoe. Mm-hmm. Now it's a thing you haven't completed. And so it massively increases the chances of finishing that task. It's a lovely little bit of psychology.
So you just have to start.
You just have to start. And of course, you know, the task might be a week, a month, whatever it is, but you think, okay, I'll just do 5 minutes. So if it's tidying up your house, you know, oh my goodness, that's going to take whatever it is, a day or something. You know what, I'll just do 5 minutes. You do that 5 minutes, massively increase the chances you're going to end up tidying up the house.
And that's why I'm usually late, because I'm thinking, oh, I've got 5 minutes, I'll just start something. But that's another episode, I think.
Management? Well, no, I mean, that's very interesting. That's another procrastination.
Is it?
Thing. Yeah, absolutely. It's associated with procrastination, which is that often people aren't very good at figuring out how long a task is going to take. And one way over that is to go, all right, what are the different parts of that task? So if I have to meet somebody in a coffee shop, I need to get my coat on, I need to get out the door, I need to walk to the tube, and to get on the tube, and then I need to walk the other end of the coffee set. How long do each of those parts take realistically? You add that up and you go, oh, I thought I'd do it in 20 minutes. Turns out it's going to be 40. And that often happens is that if you can break it down into lots of little stages, put a number against those stages, you end up with a much more accurate estimate. So we get it all the time with students handing in a piece of work. They think the essay is going to take them a day to write, and you think, hold on a second, I've got to do the research, I've got to write it, I've got to check it, I've got to hand it in. When you add all that up, actually it's 3 days. And so it's a great way of overcoming time management issues.
We're totting up 1,000 questions and hopefully answering them. Time for another listener question. Naomi wants to know about the things that can improve your motivation. She says, I'm a civil servant working for the government. Oh, God, it's probably HMRC. And as you can imagine, the last year or so has been a nightmare. I want to know whether your ability to motivate yourself is impacted by being under prolonged periods of intense stress or pressure, as this is something I've been finding increasingly hard.
Yeah. So stress, anxiety, worry, all those things just amplifies everything we're talking about. So people then tend to focus on the strategies that don't work, and particularly procrastination. So rather than deal with what's in front of them, they push it off because they feel less stressed. And the problem is, of course, it becomes a bigger problem the further you push it up the road. So absolutely, like most things in psychology, actually, stress, worry, anxiety just amplifies it. But also gives us a little bit of insight with procrastination, or two bits of insight. One is the old Mark Twain comment, which if you're going to eat a frog, eat it for breakfast, which would mean, first of all, I don't want to have breakfast with Mark Twain. But what he's saying there is, if there's something you don't want to do, do it first thing in the morning when you've got a lot of energy. Because if you push it to later in the day, you feel tired, it's easier just not to do it at all.
But that brings us back to willpower and this idea that, I know you've said it doesn't exist. But when people talk about cracking in, say, a diet, they usually do it mid-afternoon, and the rationale is, well, they've spent all of the morning concentrating on not eating the chocolate, and then by the mid-afternoon they're tired and they just put the chocolate in their face.
Yes.
So could I, by that rationale, I mean, the inverse of the frog thing is, if I just eat all the chocolate for breakfast,
yes,
then I've just got it out of the way.
Well, my question would be, why are you in an environment where there's chocolate? If you're tempted by chocolate, and I can't stand chocolate.
No chocolate, no alcohol.
No.
What's your weakness?
It's a long story, and we're going to do that in one of the future episodes.
Okay.
That's the Wiseman Breaks Down episode.
I'm looking forward to that.
So that's the other thing. It's in terms of motivation, clear your environment of the things that are tempting you. So just do not be around chocolate.
Yeah.
And don't try and push it out of your mind, because it will keep on coming back, but just get rid of it from your environment is actually a pretty good tip. But in terms of doing something, the Mark Twain's frog idea is a good one. The other one with procrastination is often associated with short-termism. So not doing it right now makes you feel good. Problem is, you're pushing it down the road, which is probably making the problem even bigger. So what you can say to people is, don't become short-termist. Think of the problem you're creating down the road right now. Think of the future, not the present, and now see whether you want to get on and do it. So it might be a student doesn't want to write an essay. Well, that's fine, but you hand in the essay late, now you've got no grade, and now the whole degree programme or whatever it is in jeopardy. Think about that, not how good it feels to go out rather than writing your essay.
That makes a lot of sense. What about motivational quotes? Do they work?
Truth is, they work if they work.
Right.
If they work for you, of course they work. There is some evidence that they can help people. But in terms of what's a little bit better, actually, is that in terms of how you speak to yourself really matters. So lots of people talk to themselves in the first person. I can do this. I can get fit. There's some evidence that talking to yourself in the second person can help you. So you can do this. You can go to the gym. And in fact, imagining yourself from the outside perspective doing it, rather than from a first-person perspective again, it seems to motivate people. So there's something about taking a little bit more of an external viewpoint, talking to yourself with you rather than I, that notion of seeing yourself doing it rather than imagining from the first person. And those are the sorts of things that really fascinate me. Very simple changes, big impact.
A lot of the motivational quotes seem to me to be a bit sappy, and so they're kind of alienating, kind of, you are a strong, confident woman. Whereas I'm probably more likely to be motivated by sort of, you are not going to let people down, or something a bit more nuanced. Is that all right? Or is that too negative again?
Yeah, that's a little bit negative, isn't it?
Negative.
What they're encouraging you to do is to be the best you can be. And I think that's quite a powerful thought with people, that what sort of person are you, and how can you be your best self? That's a good motivational quote. There is some evidence that if you've got low self-esteem, then saying nice things to yourself undermines your motivation because you don't believe the person they're coming from, which is you.
Right. Oh.
So again, there's nuance to all of this. But fundamentally, if it works for you, it works for you.
So if you have got low self-esteem and you don't trust yourself to motivate yourself because you don't believe yourself, what do you then do? What's your strategy?
Say, you can do this.
Oh, okay, because then that doesn't connect
back
to you so much.
It's not I.
Okay.
And that's one of the reasons why they think that strategy works so well.
So, top tips for motivation. The journaling.
Journaling, telling your friends what you're trying to achieve.
Support network.
Goal setting and breaking those goals into smaller sections.
Actually putting a time to go to the gym rather than...
So you know you haven't achieved it, or you have achieved it. Doing what you don't want to do first thing in the morning. Starting it for just 5 minutes, encouraging you to continue. Taking the long-term view, not the short-term view, all of these things will add up and allow you to achieve what you want to achieve.
What about fear? Does fear come into that? Is that motivating?
No.
Oh.
that's the stick again.
Is there any stick approach that works then?
Well, yes, it works, but not as much as a carrot. So the problem with sticks is that it's all very negative.
Yeah, but sometimes when you were talking about kind of don't think short-termism about the joy of going out, think of, you know, the problems that not having a grade and because you didn't do the essay. Isn't that stick-based?
It's not so much fear. It's just focusing on what the problem will be, not how you feel about it, but the problem. So that's going to cause a problem. Rather than, and that's going to be terrifying, then my life will be awful, even worse than now. And then you're off down that spiral. So it's removing the emotion in that sense and just going, let's just be a little bit more grounded about this.
Remind me what doesn't work. I know that this is carrot and stick and you've been doing the things that do work. I want to know what I should not be focusing on.
Well,
the
white bear. Ignore the white bear. So willpower, just relying on willpower, far too general, doesn't really make very much sense.
Isn't a thing.
Focusing on how terrible life will be if you don't achieve this, for all the reasons we've just been talking about with fear and anxiety. Keeping it to yourself, the opposite of the support network, and really just telling yourself that you'll do it some point in the future, but not now. All those things are going to be problematic.
Right, I need to go and do my tax return now. So,
perfect. And eat a few chocolate frogs. From Podimo and Telltale, this has been Richard Wiseman's On Your Mind.
Hosted by Professor Richard Wiseman and Marnie Chesterton.
Our producer is Kate White.
The executive producers for Podimo are Jake Chudnow and Matt White. And for Telltale are Rami Sabar and Jago Lee.
And if you like this podcast, tell your friends. Leave us a review. If you don't like it, tell your friends you did. Why should you be the only ones to suffer?
Although it does help others find us, and don't forget to subscribe.
Make sure you follow us on Twitter at WisemanPod,
where we'll be regularly asking you for questions for future episodes. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.